Please pray with me. Oh Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There is nothing quite like the feeling that you get when you have been duped by an imposter. It seems that scams, whether they be by telephone or by email, they're ever more present these days. And these scams are getting smarter, unfortunately. You know things are bad when that verification code you get sent to your phone when you are locked out of your account, you get a text in all caps that says, "Do not give this code to anyone. It is a scam." And the most pernicious form of these scams, in my opinion, it's when the scammer pretends to be someone they are not to encourage a quick response. My grandparents have gotten a call from me telling them that I had been in a car accident and needed financial help right away. I think that they got my name in connection to my grandparents, so they knew that we were connected that way via Facebook. Thankfully, my grandparents checked in with my parents before taking any action. Which, side note, my unsolicited advice, just make your online profiles private. Just do it. Just do it. The scammers, they will even pretend to be clergy. If you ever get an email from one of us asking you to buy gift cards, blanket statement, do not do it, please. I had to chuckle when I received a message from Father Jack. Right in the middle of his time of pilgrimage on Mount Athos in Greece. Because really what he needed in the middle of that time of holy and silent reflection, his retreat away from the things of the world, what he needed was for me to pop down to Kroger and get some gift cards for him. If only all imposters were so obvious. Jesus today speaks in our gospel reading of thieves and liars, those who would claim to be our shepherds but are poor excuses for the real thing. Identifying the true good shepherd, it's an important thing because shepherds provide, or at least they claim to provide, three things: identity, security, and direction. Identity, security, and direction. The wrong shepherd has the wrong plans for the sheep. Well, Jesus says that he comes to bring abundant life. Counterfeit shepherds come to steal, kill, and destroy. They do so by warping the sense of identity of the sheep, feigning to protect the sheep and misleading them to their own ends. Jesus offers us our genuine identity. He offers us true security, and he offers us the direction that is good not only for our own souls, but for the good of the whole world. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Identity. We belong to the shepherd. If you keep reading in John chapter 10, Jesus shifts his language to start speaking of his sheep in the following verses. We belong to him. He is our creator. Did you catch this? He calls us by our name. We are his. We belong to none other, not even ourselves. If we identify with the wrong shepherd, we misidentify ourselves. We miss where our value comes from and what we are here for. I've shared before what my dad would call out to me as I left the house as a teenager. Maybe you heard it yourself. Remember who you are and whose you are. Who you are and whose you are. Getting those questions right makes the difference between an abundant life and a life that is stolen, killed, destroyed. Security. Here we go to that well-known and well-beloved psalm appointed for today. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The presence of those things is a comfort to me because they let me know that I am protected. The world is not always a safe place for sheep. There are difficult paths to walk and hungry predators lurking. But these are no problem for a shepherd willing to lay down his life for his sheep. False shepherds throw in the towel when things get dicey. There's a limit to the security they provide. Jesus puts it this way, beginning in verse 12 of John 10, which is after our reading. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. False shepherds only care about the sheep insofar as the sheep are beneficial to them. And so the security they claim to provide is counterfeit. It's not real. Direction. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Sheep without a shepherd makes for a whole bunch of lost sheep. When we have, as our shepherd, the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who is ready to lay down his life to protect us, that is the shepherd who knows where we need to go. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So many of us feel stuck, like we don't know where to go. Friends, follow the good shepherd. False shepherds lead you where they want you to go, and they don't really care if it is for your ultimate good. There will be enticements along the way to keep you interested, but green pastures and still waters are not the destination that false shepherds have in mind. False shepherds are headed to the slaughterhouse. As Jesus says, steal, kill, destroy. These are the stakes when it comes to the shepherd who we choose to follow. Choosing the wrong shepherd will lead to our destruction. Hear what Jesus says again about imposter shepherds. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. And later, to drive the point home, Jesus reiterates, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now, I think it's important we recognize the presence of real imposters in Jesus' message. Jesus is talking about real people. The people of Israel, they had multiple forces vying for their attention and allegiance, and all under the guise of what it meant to be the true Israel, the true people of God. These false shepherds, they offered false identity, false security, and false direction to the flock of Israel. Jesus had come to take his own back. If you keep on reading in John 10, you'll see that the religious authorities were one set of false shepherds in Jesus' day who heard these words and were scandalized by them. If you go down in John chapter 10 to verses 19 and 20, you will see where the religious authorities accuse Jesus after hearing this about him being the good shepherd. They accuse Jesus of having a demon for the way in which he's speaking of these things. They aren't missing Jesus' critique of them in these words, that they are the thieves and robbers, and neither should we. And also remember what has come directly before this passage, the healing of a man born blind. This is what happens in John chapter 9. And it is an event in and of itself that is a restoring and protecting of one of the lost sheep of Israel, this blind man, by his true shepherd, Jesus. But this event, which should be a wonderful event that is cause for celebration, it causes a ruckus among the religious leaders who aren't ready to recognize Jesus as God. They kick the blind man out of the synagogue and harass his parents, all while their hatred for Jesus gets turned up one more notch. False shepherds don't like to have their authority questioned. We too have those who are competing to be the ones to offer us identity, security, and protection. And those offers are over and against the true version of those things that is available to us in Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And so I'd like to explore types of false shepherds that would lead us astray if we let them. Now for today, we're going to leave aside the existence of false shepherds within the church and its leaders. This is an apparent reality, easily seen by just keeping up with the news. Suffice it to say that those who hold authority in the church are not immune from being led astray, or, Lord have mercy, leading others astray. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy on your church. May her leaders point them to the true good shepherd and none other. But in an increasingly post-Christian world, those that would sneak into the sheepfold, they are coming from outside the institution of the church. The false shepherd of Mammon, the pagan god of material wealth, suggests that our identity, our security, our direction, they're all about money. Our identity comes from how much of it we make. Our security comes from how much of it we have put away. Our direction comes in whatever path gets us more of it. Now, of course, it is never so blatantly stated. The false shepherd is subtle in his pitch. He exploits the reality of our material needs and weaves it into the lie that there is never enough. But the identity of Mammon, at best, only lasts as long as we are able to produce at a high level. The security of Mammon is a false security, vulnerable, as Jesus said, to the thief that steals and the moth that destroys. And the direction of Mammon is the way of destruction, not only of our own lives, but the lives of those around us. Mammon is a false shepherd. The false shepherd of the self offers identity as the expression of the will, free of any constraint of the givenness of reality or the boundaries of morality. The shepherd of the self offers the security of self-actualization, of fully reaching your potential. The shepherd of the self offers the direction of whatever your heart truly desires. Follow your heart, follow your dreams. But the shepherd of the self is a false shepherd. Its world is so narrow it cuts us off from others and from God. The shepherd of the self turns our gaze so far inward that we do not see the suffering of our neighbor. The shepherd of the self elevates us and our desires to the throne of our lives, leaving no room for our Creator or His will. The shepherd of the self leads to a way of destruction and death, as we have seen over and over again since our first parents put themselves first in the garden. Today we must also name and be on the lookout for the false shepherd of politics. I had pondered this subject this week and settled how I wanted to express the dangers of making politics our shepherd, only to wake up this morning to the news of yet another attempt at political violence. Jesus' words remain true. False shepherds come to steal, kill, and destroy. The false shepherd of politics, it gives us an identity in shared perspectives and increasingly shared enemies. The shepherd of politics promises the security of power in the proper hands, a promised day where things will be finally be put in order and utopia will drop from the sky. The shepherd of politics offers the direction of convenience, where values can be laid aside for the so-called greater good of political success. In politically tense moments like those in which we seem to keep finding ourselves, the most dangerous thought we can have about political idolatry, like any idolatry, is that we are not susceptible to it. That surely it is only a problem for other people. That is how compromises are made. Politics makes for a poor shepherd. So how do we fend off false shepherds? These and others. We fend them off by remembering. Leslie Newbegin, a longtime missionary to India, who later returned to an increasingly secular West, he saw the danger of false shepherds and wrote this about the church. A Christian congregation is a community in which, through the constant remembering and rehearsing of the true story of human nature and destiny, an attitude of healthy skepticism can be sustained. A skepticism which enables one to take part in the life of society without being bemused and deluded by its own beliefs about itself. We remember together the goodness of God, the goodness of our shepherd. This is why when the people of Israel returned to Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah, they remembered the Exodus, as we read in Nehemiah chapter 9. This was the needed corrective after living for decades under the false shepherds of Babylonian captivity. A captivity that occurred because of the false shepherding of idolatry and bad leadership within Israel. And so these people returned from exile, remembered how God led their ancestors like a shepherd out of Egypt and through the wilderness of the Promised Land. The way to avoid falling in with false shepherds is to remember what the good one is like. Knowing the real thing will help us spot the fakes every time. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Are you listening for the voice of the good shepherd this morning? Are you listening to the voice of a false shepherd this morning? Their voices are not the same. The latter comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The former comes that you may have abundant life in him. Listen for his voice. Listen by reading and meditating on his word. Listen for the voice of his Holy Spirit. Do not be led astray by the many imposters who would steal you away from his fold. And may you say, with the rest of his people, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.